and welcome to Mental Illness Unmasked, where peer supports come together to explore the feelings and struggles around mental illness and addiction. Each week, we have honest discussions, share stories, and take an authentic approach to helping people navigate through their own journey.
Hello, and welcome to Mental Illness Unmasked. I'm your host, Cass, and today is all about how you define mental illness. We have a guest with us today named Marcy. She is the program coordinator of Spark of Brilliance and Beautiful Minds. She has lived experience with her mental illness as well. It's come up a lot in the last couple of days. Do we use the word mental illness in the podcast, or do we strictly say mental wellness? And I think that is a good question to ask. We're going to listen to the interview with Marcy and find out her definition of mental health or mental illness, mental wellness, and, you know, see what she says. And then a little later on, we have another podcast coming up with Tony and his version of mental illness. And you'll see there's some differences in there. You know, we're all different when it comes to describing what it is that we experience. So without further ado, here's Marcy.
So how do you define mental illness?
So mental illness as I know it would be a diagnosable condition that significantly impacts a person's feelings, emotions, or their ability to function on a day-to-day basis.
Are you getting that from a dictionary or from personal experience?
It sounds like from a dictionary. Yeah, pretty much a dictionary. My own personal definition of mental illness would probably vary from day to day based on my own personal experiences that day, things I'm going through. Some days the definition is a lot more positive, other days not so much.
So it can change?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you say that it's like a scale or...?
I would think so, kind of like a spectrum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it depends on what position in recovery a person is that determines their definition of the recovery. I mean, the definition I gave you is pretty much probably quite similar to what's in the dictionary. I would probably have a better definition when I'm in a good place, as opposed to a definition I might give when I'm in a negative space. I'm trying to think of an example. I think if I were in a good space, my definition of mental illness might be more optimistic. Like, there's hope out there. Some days I might even feel a little bit like a superhero. Like, yeah, I can deal with this. This is easy. On a day maybe where I'm feeling low, I might feel like this is hopeless and I'm never going to get through it. So I think it's really, the definition is variable depending on my mood.
I find that to be very interesting that you said, like, inspiring superhero, because mm-hmm. a lot of times when you hear the word mental illness, you mm-hmm. think of a negative mm-hmm. connotation to it, mm-hmm. right?
True.
So you also said diagnosed conditions, mm-hmm. I think. So to have a mental illness, do you need to be diagnosed?
I mean, I think to be officially considered a person with mental illness, you would have to have some sort of diagnosis. But I think that every single person has mental health issues. I mean, it's just because you're not diagnosed doesn't mean that you can't be dealing with mental health issues themselves. But I mean, formally, I think in order to have a mental illness, a diagnosis is required. Otherwise, it would be considered a mental health issue.
So what would your definition of mental health be?
Well, I mean, everybody has mental health, right? Just the same way as everybody has physical health. So, I mean, a mental health issue might be, in my opinion anyway, somebody who's struggling through grief, going through a period where things are really, really challenging in their life, and they're dealing with a lot of sadness, but maybe not necessarily clinical depression. Whereas something like bipolar disorder or severe depressive disorder, things like that, I would consider more of a mental illness than a mental health issue.
Yeah, you seem to have a lot of knowledge on the different mental illnesses and mental health. Would you say that's from your own experience living with a mental illness?
I think being involved in the mental health field for 13 years, and I'm obviously not a clinician, but I've been around for quite some time. But it's primarily from my own experience and interacting with peers as well, just learning all about different the different illnesses and conditions that people live with.
Do you find that you are a voice for mental illness?
I like to think so. I mean, in my roles over the years with both Spark of Brilliance and Beautiful Minds, I've had an opportunity to tell my own story through events with Spark of Brilliance. And then with Beautiful Minds, I've had the opportunity to go into high schools to educate students about mental health and about stigma and those sorts of things. So I like to think that I'm a voice, and hopefully a positive voice for mental health. Yes.
I like that you keep using the word positive, because, you know, with mental illness and mental health, negativity comes up so much. What is it that you do to keep that positivity going?
I think I do a lot of reflection on my past, because in my own personal story, it wasn't, like many people, it wasn't always a positive experience. And I had, so it's basically from my own personal experience, because years ago when I was in the system, I faced a little bit of negativity from some mental health workers. Of course, everybody's experience is going to be different, but I found that oftentimes people spoke about what I couldn't do. They often told me that I couldn't work. I probably wasn't likely to be a contributing member of society even. And I kind of used that as a catalyst to move me along in my recovery, because I knew that those things, at least in my own understanding, weren't true. I felt that there were a lot of things I could do, and that people were often focusing on my perceived disabilities or my deficiencies. And so from that, as well as through the philosophy of Spark of Brilliance, which was always, we focus on what people can do and not what they can't do, I've kind of developed a little bit more positivity when it comes to mental illness, because I think that regardless of anybody's circumstance, whether it's a physical disability or a mental disability, I think that every single person has potential, and we often overlook that. And I think that we need to start focusing on people holistically as people and not just as diagnosis.
I agree. I find that in my experience, having a mental health diagnosis and mental health challenges before I was officially diagnosed put this label on me that created so much stigma. And, you know, when I went to the hospital or did anything like that, any of those kind of appointments, people treated me like I was fake, you know. And do you think that there is such a thing as functional mental illness?
Oh, definitely. I've experienced functional mental illness before. And I mean, my definition of functional mental illness is appearing from the outside as though there's nothing wrong. I mean, you can't see if a person has depression. You can't see if they have bipolar disorder. You can't tell if that person self-harmed. You can't tell if that person has attempted suicide. Like, it's those things we often keep inside of us, but they're not available for the outside world to see. And so we often put on a face of being well and go out into the world and do our work or our school. We interact with our families and we function in a way that at least it appears we're functioning well, when oftentimes we're holding a lot of things in that's making it a really, really hard challenge for us to function.
So what happens if you are functioning well, like say in the workplace, and but you're having a very bad day? How would somebody notice or approach you?
I suppose it depends on each individual person. When I'm having a bad day, I tend to kind of isolate myself from other things happening in the office. I get a little bit more quiet. I'm usually a pretty sarcastic individual. So if you're not getting any sarcasm from me that day, it probably shows that I'm having a rough day. But I'm also a little bit more verbal maybe than some other people feel comfortable with. Not hearing me, I don't mean uncomfortable hearing me say it, but some people just don't feel comfortable saying, look, I'm not having a good day. And I think that it serves myself well as everybody I work with to be honest about how you're feeling so that people can treat you accordingly. Because I mean, just like a headache, you go into the office, you say, oh my gosh, I've got a really bad headache. People will sympathize with you for that, right? So why should that be any different than going into the office and saying, look, I'm feeling a little bit depressed depressed today. And then maybe somebody can say, hey, can I get you a tea? Or, you know, let me know if there's something I can do about it. I think it's important for people to normalize these things rather than keep them hidden.
So when I talked with the previous person, he had mentioned that, you know, talking about this stuff actually makes him feel a bit uncomfortable. He says, you know, he can talk to me anytime, but bringing it up just makes him think and feel uncomfortable. Do you find that it's the same for you? Or
it used to be. Like I mentioned earlier, I've shared my story a lot in the public in the past. I go into schools and talk about mental health all the time, and sometimes I share my own personal story. So I think that over the years, I've become more comfortable with it. In the past, you couldn't get me to talk about it. For one, I would probably break down and cry and everything. I've become a lot more confident and a lot stronger with my diagnosis. I used to see it as that label of detriment, kind of, that when people would look at me and find out that I had a mental illness, they would all of a sudden treat me differently. And that does still happen, but I feel that I'm in a better place now to explain and educate people and use it as an education tool to say, like, look, I am a person with mental illness, and, you know, there are days that are rough, but I'm okay, and it's okay to have a mental illness.
And you're a superhero.
Oh, sometimes.
So, Marcy, you are the program coordinator for Beautiful Minds and Spark of Brilliance. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. I've been involved with Spark of Brilliance for much longer than I have with Beautiful Minds, so I'll tell you a little bit about that first. So Spark of Brilliance is a program that promotes healing and recovery through the arts. So we offer artistic programming for people with lived experience of mental health issues and addictions at no cost at our Guelph and Kitchener sites. And I actually got involved in the program myself as a participant about 13 years ago. So I've had the opportunity to see kind of both sides of the program and learn all of the ins and outs over the years. I started out as a researcher for the program to determine the viability and sustainability. And then I went on to be a support coordinator for the director. And then when the director, Judith Rosenberg, retired, I took over role as program coordinator. As for Beautiful Minds, I've been doing that program now for 2 years. And we're an education program that goes into secondary schools to teach to students about mental health issues and about stigma, different coping skills, unhealthy coping skills, and different ways to promote well-being.
If somebody was interested in getting involved in, well, either Spark of Brilliance or Beautiful Minds, how would they do that?
It's really, really easy to get involved with Spark of Brilliance. We have generally weekly workshops that happen in Guelph as well as in Kitchener. And the Guelph workshops do require registration simply because we have a really small space, but the registration process is really easy. A person just either emails me or contacts me via phone and says, I'm interested in this particular workshop, can I sign up? And if there's space, then I save a person a seat, and that's really all there is to registration. There's no other questioning involved. I just need to know your first name, and then you come to the program. In Kitchener, it's a little bit different. They have a huge space to work with there, so there's not generally registration. But if there is, it's always mentioned on the calendar. As for Beautiful Minds, we do have training sessions every year, usually once or twice a year, depending on the needs of the program, for new speakers. It's a 2-day training program where each person learns about how the presentation works, the purpose of the program, and then how to write a trauma-informed story of their own based on their experiences to share with the students. And then we go together, myself doing a presentation along with the speaker to secondary schools, and I do a presentation piece, and the speaker speaks and tells their story. And it's always a really, really valuable experience for students because they have an opportunity to see what a person with mental illness looks like. Because oftentimes people, especially young people, have this idea in their head from things they see in media, you know, movies and television, as to what a person with mental illness looks like. And they don't often have a chance to interact with a person who's willing to share their story and answer their questions. So I think it's really a valuable program to have.
Marcy, do you have any tips for people living with a mental illness?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have helped me throughout my life when dealing with the ups and downs and all the challenges that can go along with mental illness. I think one of the most valuable tips I can offer is just to be self-compassionate. I think it's really important to be able to realize that sometimes it's okay to not be okay and not to beat yourself up over that. And I think sometimes we have a lot of stress on us to accomplish and to succeed these big, huge things in life, especially when trying to deal with a mental illness at the same time. But if anybody's ever battled with depression, they know it's really hard sometimes even to get out of bed in the morning or to have a shower. And I think it's important that if you're in a position where those things are challenging, to kind of celebrate those as successes, because it's really hard sometimes to accomplish even the smallest of things. And I think another important thing is to spend time on yourself doing things that are valuable or important to you, meaningful. We often have planners that are full of things related to work and other responsibilities, whether we have children or schooling, things like that. But we kind of neglect the things that bring us peace and make us feel really joyful in our lives. So I can say I don't always follow through with that, but I try to put me written in capital letters in my planner at least once or twice a week, where I just take time to do something that I enjoy. But I have to schedule it as though it's an appointment, or oftentimes I won't do it. So I think being able to take some time to kind of replenish and find things that you enjoy are really, really important.
I like that. I like that you write me in your planner. It's true, because when people say, you know, do self-care, it's like, yeah, I'll do it. Never really do it. Right. So having it in your calendar, that's really awesome.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that's a little bit irritating sometimes about this whole thing about self-care, because self-care is becoming such a trendy thing to talk about right now, is that often people think that self-care is just having a bubble bath and that everything's going to be fine. But self-care is about a lot more than just, you know, having a bubble bath or something. It's a daily practice that you need to kind of grow and nurture, because it's not a one-time thing. It's a thing that people should incorporate into their daily well-being.
Got any jokes?
I can tell you a quick joke if I can remember it from my stand-up set that I used to do. Let me see. I'm probably going to mess it up. But so as you can imagine, having multiple mental health or mental illness diagnosis, I'm on medication. But a lot of these medications have some really, really bad side effects. For example, the one I'm on is the side effects include intestinal upset, irritability, muscle spasms. So the medication helps with my anxiety, at least. The only problem now is that I walk into a room with a gimpy leg, a tic, and chronic flatulence. But I did get a side order of Prozac, so I'm feeling pretty good about the farting situation.
That's good.
That was just one of the...
That is good. I'm using that, just so you know. Totally using that.
I'm trying to think of other ones, but and I had a whole series of like superheroes based on mental illnesses. So there was like the Agoraphobia League, who fought crime and injustice from the safety of their own beds.
Did you write books?
Pardon?
Did you write books?
No.
Oh God,
no.
You should.
No. Yeah, I had a whole bunch of them. Oh, Paranoia Man, and his costume was like, oh, I can't remember the wording to the joke, but it was like he would wear a leotard that was like covered in fake leaves so he could hide out in bushes because he was afraid everybody could see him. Oh, yeah, I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look at my set. I still have it somewhere, but it's like so dated now. I did it like 10 years ago.
That's so cool. As you can see in the last part of that interview, we bring some laughter into it. You know, it's true. Laughter is a strong medicine. It draws people together in ways that, you know, trigger healthy physical and emotional changes in the body. It strengthens your immune system, boosts mood, diminishes pain, and protects you from the damaging effects of stress. Laughter is my go-to. I'm constantly making jokes. as a way to protect myself, but also as a way to explain myself or express myself in times that I'm feeling rough. I'd like to thank Marcy for her awesome definition about mental illness and mental health. I know I agree with a lot of what she had to say, and I also feel a little different about some of her definitions. You know, we're all different, and we all experience mental illness in a different way, and therefore we can, you know, define it how we experience it. I do believe that mental illness is an important thing to talk about. I believe that is an important word to use to describe the things that we are going through. And I have mental illness, and I've been diagnosed, and, you know, I also have, you know, mental health on certain days or mental well-being, but I don't want to be so unvalidated without use of the word mental illness. And you know, that is just my point of view. And, you know, we all have different point of views. So again, let's thank Marcy for her amazing interview, and we will catch you next time. All right. Thanks.